Very happy to be joined now by Tim Layden of Sports Illustrated, NBC Sports as well. He's got a story up on SI. Usain Bolt's decade-long party reaches the finish line. Tim, thanks so much for this.
Sure, my pleasure, guys.
All right, question number one. Do you believe that this is truly it for Usain Bolt?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, 99% will leave the door open a crack, but you know, I've known Usain for a while, talked to him a lot over the years, and he's never been much for training. He's never been much for having a bad back that's always on the verge of falling apart on him. And beyond that, even though he'll be 31 next week, but you know, he's been getting slower almost every year since 2009, and he's smart enough to know where that goes. So I think he's done. You know, he can still make plenty of money being Usain Bolt without actually running.
Right, which I'm actually a bit surprised that he didn't say goodbye at the Olympics, that he had this victory tour, if you will, which didn't end in a victory. What was the thought process behind going for one more world championship?
A couple things in play there. I mean, the first was that, and I think, you know, the first time I heard of this plan was in 2012. And actually, I remember talking to Bolt's agent, Ricky Sims, in the press area in the London Olympic Stadium. I said, is there any chance Usain's done now? You know, maybe not even run in 2016. And he said, nope, he's going to run two more world championships and then Rio, and then he's going to finish up right back here. So, I mean, I think there were a lot of sponsor deals in place. A lot of his sponsors are Western European-based, and a lot, he has a big fan base in London and the UK in general. So, I mean, I think that there were a lot of money deals tied to him going through London 2017. And beyond that, I think he thought, you know, he did the calculations in his head, and I think he thought he could get there, you know, and put it together and really run one more race, no 200 meters, just 100, do the minimum amount of training required and put it together on race night. And then he only missed by 300s.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, he almost pulled it off. And again, his personality and his nature are that, you know, he has slept great the last three nights, I'm sure.
Yeah. You mentioned it. He didn't get blown out of the water. And you know what? Maybe if it's 120 meters, maybe he does close the gap on 35-year-old Justin Gatlin. That was not an especially fast time either, Tim. Are you surprised at how the race itself went down?
Not really. Nobody's run fast this year. You know, the times are universally slow. I mean, that was the slowest winning time for the World Championships since 2003. Which was a really weird post-steroids, pre-Bolt, Gatlin, Tyson Gay year when nobody was running fast. So, I mean, there only been one time under 9.9, and not to get too tracky here, but there only one time under 9.9 all this year, and that was by Christian Coleman, the young U.S. kid, in Eugene, where you sometimes just get freaky fast times once in a while. So, I mean, it had been a slow year, and there was a good chance it was going to be a slow winning time. You know, I think that's another reason, you know, Bolt couldn't beat somebody running 9.92. I think he just knew that that's it.
Talking to Tim Layden, Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports, people on this side of the border, Tim, looked at that time and looked at that race and saw an opportunity missed by Andre DeGrasse, who, of course, has the torn hamstring, could not participate, not going to be career debilitating or anything. He's going to be back in the sport. But that's likely his last opportunity to beat Usain Bolt. It won't happen. I mean, that's a huge notch on the resume that he'll never get a chance to erase. And we all had fun watching the moments at the Rio Games. But yeah, that he'll never get a chance to race against Usain Bolt, at least for people on this side of the border, like I said, feels like a huge, man, what could have been?
Yeah, and certainly DeGrasse and Stuart McMillan and all his people are very aware that Bolt was running slow and vulnerable, and Gatlin had not run real fast, and Coleman was tired. I mean, I'm sure they knew very well that there was a huge opportunity here for DeGrasse. If he was healthy and ready to go, I'm sure they would have trotted him out there. I mean, there was reputation to be made, money to be made, medals to be won. I mean, it's not like these guys don't know that. Based on all that, I'm assuming that his injury was bad enough that they just didn't want to roll the dice and be in a position where his future career might be compromised. I mean, these world-class 100-meter, 200-meter runners have bodies that are just, they're always one bad step from blowing apart, the kind of the edge that they work on. And, you know, that's assuming no other factors are in play for purposes of this conversation. But, you know, so, I mean, if he could have gone, he would have gone. Because all the things you're talking about, the opportunity, he knows that and they know that. And, you know, I haven't seen anything in the Canadian press if people have talked to him since then. But clearly, yeah, opportunity missed, but could have been too much at risk to try it.
Tim, here in Canada, obviously we're invested in Andre because he's our great hope since Donovan Bailey. But if we look at the sport as a whole, who is the next face of sprinting now that Usain has gone? Is there anyone or a group of guys who can carry the sport with that vacuum?
I mean, I'll answer that two ways. I mean, I think DeGrasse and Coleman are the guys. Trayvon Brummell is another U.S. kid that ran really fast, but he's had a bunch of injuries, knee reconstructions, torn Achilles, the kind of things that you don't run fast again afterwards. So, I mean, Coleman and DeGrasse are the guys. Now, you have to figure that there's going to be other young guys coming up. But, I mean, they're the two. If DeGrasse gets healthy again, Coleman gets into a good system and makes the adjustment to being a professional runner, then, you know, then I think that those are the guys. But at the same time, you know, there's pretty good evidence that we might be heading into an era where nobody runs 9.7s anymore, or 9.6s, or Bolt's ridiculous 9.58, and the track and field community is going to get very much up in knots trying to figure out why that's happening, if it's better drug testing, or if it's just an era where we just came out of this era with, go back as far as you want, but you could say, you know, Maurice Greene, the disgrace to Montgomery, Gatlin, Gay, Bolt, Powell, Blake, all these guys that ran under 9.7 or under 9.75. And, I mean, maybe we're just going to see a lull in those kind of times.
Plus, it's probably unfair to judge anything against the Usain Bolt era, right? Like, this is the greatest of all time. Is there another Usain Bolt? No. And maybe there never will be because he's the greatest.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be another Bolt. I mean, Bolt had a combination. I mean, now, it could be a generation or more. It could be multiple generations before somebody runs 9.58. We've seen track records, and not just dirty records, but clean track records that have lasted a long time. And I think Bolt's records could last a long time. But it's not just that. As you guys know, with Bolt, it's everything from his name to the pose to the way he interacts with the crowd before and after his races. I mean, he's just a very, very unique once-in-a-lifetime character. And, I mean, to expect that anybody's going to run as fast as he did is pretty crazy, but to expect that somebody's going to run as fast as he did and be like he's been, I mean, that's out there. I just don't, I you know, if it happens, we'll all be happy, but it's hard to imagine.
I know it's tough to compare different sports, team sports, to individual sports, but in North America, we make lists and we argue at barbershops. This is what we do. Is Usain Bolt the most dominant athlete of his time?
Sure. I mean, I think it's the nature of a individual sport versus a team sport. You know, I mean, I'm not sure where to go. If I start throwing out any names, I mean, the team sport athlete, you know, it's just very hard. I mean, has there been an NHL player since Gretzky that you could say is as dominant as Bolt has been? I mean, Bolt never lost until last Saturday in a race with the championship on the line. He holds all the major world records. I mean, but again, a team sport athlete is subject to so many other things going on the court or the field or the ice that it's just hard to be that dominant. So Bolt was kind of it's almost like a 100-meter sprinter is the perfect guy to be that dominant if he can be. But the fact is, you know, Bolt ran 22 championship-level races. He's got one left, and he finished first in 19 of them, and two of the three losses were a false start, and one of his teammates got a steroid positive. So he only got beat once, and that was by 300ths after. He had a career before that, but once he became Bolt. So it's a sticky argument, but I'm happy to sit across the table from anybody who wants to say that somebody's been more dominant.
And I think he's the most recognizable athlete in the world. And it doesn't hurt when your last name is Bolt and you're a sprinter. Like, come on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like, he's made in a laboratory.
Somebody once said to me it's been the most appropriate nickname, and I'm not going to say it. There's somebody else that comes to mind. But, you can't name a dominant sprinter any better than that. And the fact that he was Jamaican, a country that embraces sprinting so much, and it's just been a perfect match of athlete and event and an era. And, you know, he's been remarkable, and I'm sure there's a few soccer players, Ronaldo and Neymar are, you know, and I'm sure in Canada there's three or four hockey players, but yeah. The worldwide appeal, I had this argument with somebody online this week that said he's not more popular than LeBron, is he? And I said, man, worldwide, I think he is, really.
Yep, I'm with you.
You know.
Yeah, not everybody plays basketball, but everybody runs. It's kind of easy to do.
The Olympics with the most countries.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good measure.